We are going through a sermon series called Your Purpose in Life, and we're going through the book of Ephesians. Last week, if you weren't here for last week's sermon, we started this new sermon series, and I encourage you to go back and catch up on what was talked about last week, because what was talked about last week really informs a lot of everything else that we're going to talk about through the rest of Ephesians. So especially last week's sermon, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to it on YouTube. Well, as we go through this sermon series, we want to remember that God, especially last week, we talked about how God has had a purpose for all of humankind. God has had a purpose for all of his creation, and he has worked in a powerful way, and he is working even today, and he will continue to work all throughout the rest of history to bring his purpose about. And it's a great, great purpose. And as we think about how God has a great purpose in mind, it also means that he also has a purpose for our lives. We talked about how Ephesus, the city of Ephesus during that time, was a major city with many influences, with a lot of influence on people. And whenever you have a major city like that, there's a lot of things that come into your life that influences you and tells you what your purpose should be. But we want to continue to look at what God's purpose is and continue to be shaped by his purpose. We're going to continue in our passage today, and we're going to be looking at a prayer now as Paul, the writer of Ephesians, as he's already talked about what God's purpose is, now he's going to go into a prayer. And so we're going to be looking at that prayer today. And so I want to invite up Gabriel to come up today and read our passage for us.
The reading of God's word today comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. If you're looking at the Bible from the outside, we are looking at page 976. Again, the reading of God's word comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. This is the reading of God's word. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet, gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the reading of God's word.
Thank you. Here, let's see if that works now. All right. As Christians, we pray for different topics, and we also pray for each other. And there may be times that people share with us certain prayer topics, and we tell them that we will pray for them. And so when we do tell someone that we will pray for them, do we? I think for me, for a while, I would tell people that I would pray for them just because they shared something with me. But then the next moment, I would forget. I would forget what their prayer topic was, and I would not pray for them. And then the next week comes around, And then they come to me and they say, wow, thank you so much for praying for me. But I didn't. You know, and so, you know, if you've ever faced a situation like that, my suggestion, just we're starting off with practical application already. My suggestion is that when somebody asks you for prayer, just say, can I pray for you right now? And just pray for them on the spot. That's a good way to do it. But also, let's think about when you ask someone to pray for you, you know, when you're on the side of asking someone for prayer, do you try to live out what you're asking prayer for? Okay, so, you know, there are times that we ask for prayer. There's like certain things that we're thinking about, that we're going through. And so it might be something like, you know, can you please pray for me that I'd find a good job? And, but then you go home and then you're just playing games on your phone, watching YouTube videos, just kind of hanging out, just cleaning up your house and doing everything else but looking for a job, right? When we ask for prayer, do you actually do the thing that you're asking people for prayer for? Or do you just expect that it's going to miraculously happen? Like all of a sudden, just because I was cleaning the house and just because I was feeding the dog, all of a sudden someone's going to give me a call and say, hey, you have a new job. It doesn't work that way. And so I want us to be thinking about that idea of when we do ask people for prayer, what are we doing after we ask people for prayer? Again, we're looking at a prayer today. Paul is writing out his prayer for the Ephesians, and we're going to be looking more deeply into that. Last week, we talked about how God has a great purpose, and we need to align our purpose with God's purpose. Now, today, what we're going to see is that Paul is going to ask for prayer so that our hearts would be aligned with what God's heart is. And so it's the idea of actually accepting the purpose that God has for us. Paul is praying a prayer that we would begin to accept what God's plan is for us. And so the idea, the main idea for today is this: accept the purpose that God has for you. And we're going to go through it in 3 points. Number one, the prayer. Number two, the answer to prayer. And number three, the power for the answer. Okay, again, we're talking about Paul is praying a prayer. And the basic idea is that he wants his people, he wants the church at Ephesus to come to understand who God is and to really live out what God has for them. And so, again, the idea is to accept the purpose that God has for you. And the 3 points are the prayer. We're going to look at what the prayer actually says. Number two, the answer to prayer. And number three, the power for the answer. So let's look at the prayer more specifically. Last week I mentioned that Paul, especially in the very beginning of Ephesians, he writes these run-on sentences. And so it's kind of difficult sometimes to really grasp what is the main idea there. What is he really talking about? And so as we look at the prayer, we're also going to see that there is a run-on sentence. Okay, and we're going to try to figure out together what that main idea is. So he starts off the passage, well, the passage starts off with, for this reason, he just finished talking about God's great purpose. He just finished talking about how great God is and how he planned everything out from the beginning of time, how he chose his people and how he's going to work to save his people and to have a relationship with his people. And he wants to bless his people with every spiritual blessing in heaven. And so it says, for this reason, because God's doing all these things, and because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. Paul is saying, look, I know about God's plan, but I see God's plan being worked out in you. I heard about how God is giving you faith, and I hear how that faith is actually being worked out through you, where you are showing love to all the saints. It's so wonderful. And that's why I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. So because he hears about what God is doing in their lives, and because of all that he just talked about, he says, I do not cease to give thanks to you. He's thanking God for these people. Now, there's a purpose of him writing this book. There's a purpose of why he's writing to the Ephesians. And we'll see, like, he uses this word mystery. And he mentions that in the very beginning of our chapter that we talked about last week. I didn't go into a lot of details about what that mystery was, but we're going to talk more about that in the coming weeks. And then later on in the book of Ephesians, he also talks about how do we have a relationship with other people? How do we actually love other people? What does that practically look like in our lives? And what does that look like in our church? And he's going to go into a lot of detail about all these things. And he does this because there's an issue that he hears about. There's an issue that he sees in the church of Ephesus. But even with hearing about that issue, he starts off by saying, I do not cease to give thanks to you or give thanks to God for you, remembering you in my prayers. And then he goes in to talk about what he's praying for them about. It says that he prays that they may receive, that the Lord God would give them a spirit, the spirit of wisdom and of revelation. What does this basically mean? It basically means that Paul is praying that they would come to know God and his purpose more and more and more. More and more to the point that it would be the spirit, let me say it in a different order. Paul is praying that God would grant them the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit would come to them and give them that wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. And so Paul is asking that God would work in their hearts so that they would come to know who God is more, but more meaning in wisdom and revelation. Wisdom is about how we have this knowledge, but it's not just knowledge that we hold on to so that we know some facts about God, but it's something that leads us to action. It leads us to a right path to do something. And the idea of revelation is that I would come to know and understand God all the more, and so that I would come to be filled with just joy and have the strength and motivation that God would reveal to me more and more clearly how great God is and how God is moving around me and in me. And so this happens when we come to understand who God is. More and more, we begin to experience who God is and we begin to live out our lives according to who God is and what he's doing. So that's the basic prayer, that God would work in us so that we would come to know who God is, this great God that was just talked about in the last passage, this great God that has this great purpose. And so that the more and more we come to know who God is, and the more and more we learn to live our lives according to his purpose, that we begin to accept his purpose for our lives and want to live according to his ways. That's Paul's prayer. And then he goes into more specifics. What does it look like to know God more and more? What is it that we're learning about? What is it that we come to understand that drives us to have some action in our lives? Well, sometimes when we look at the passage in English, maybe you might be able to spot it, but it's a little bit more clear in the Greek, in the original language of the passage. And so I want to help point out what those three specific things are that Paul is pointing to. In verse 18, it says, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know, and then it begins to go into three things, and the three things starts with what is or what are. Okay, so having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, so that you may know, first one, what is the hope to which he has called you? God has called you. That's the first idea. God has called you to be a part of what he's doing in this world. God has called you to have a relationship with him. This is all stuff that we talked about last week. God has called you to live for his glory. And all of this points to a great hope that we have when we have a relationship with God. And so Paul is praying that you would come to know how great this hope is, that God has called us for His purposes, for His glory, and into a relationship with Him. The second thing, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints? So Paul prays that you would come to know more and more what the great inheritance is that we have, and how abundant, the riches is talking about the abundance of the inheritance that we have received. And so, you know, like, we struggle in this world with what our hearts are wanting. We want this, we want that. And so we ask for prayer about this, we ask for prayer about that. And we want more and more because we think those things will make us happy. But Paul is praying that you would come to know more deeply how wonderful, how great it is that we have a relationship with God. And one day when we're in heaven, we're going to be with God forever and ever. And this is the great inheritance, that we have this wonderful relationship with God and we're going to be with Him forever. And so if you know how great that is, how wonderful it is to be in a relationship with God, then what you'll begin to find is that your desires for other things in this life will begin to fade away. They won't be as strong of a temptation anymore. And so Paul is praying, I want you to come to know more and more how great it is, this inheritance that we have with the Lord. And the last thing, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His great might, that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. The last thing that Paul is pointing to is this. I'm praying that you would come to know God more and more, so that not only will you come to know the hope that you have because He has called you, not only will you come to know the riches of His glorious inheritance, but also that you will come to know that God is working everything out and He's the one that has the power. There is immeasurable greatness in His power. I want you to know this thing clearly, because you might be worried about some demons that might come and tempt you and take you away. You might be worried about how some curse might be upon you. Or if not in that sense, you might be worried about how that person, your boss, or that other person, your friend, that has a little bit more of an edge on you, how they're going to take advantage of you and you're going to lose everything and you're going to suffer. Or you might be thinking about how you feel like you're not good enough, you're not strong enough to accomplish whatever. And Paul is praying for you. Paul is praying that God would work in your life so that you're not focused on how strong you could try to be, but how great and powerful our God actually is. This is not just any power. This is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. When we think about that idea, we have to remember, no one has been raised from the dead. People are resuscitated, yes, but they die again. No one has been raised to life and they stayed alive. But only God, with His power, raised Jesus from the dead, and Jesus never died again. This is the great power that we're talking about. Let me say it a little bit differently. The great power that God has that's working in our lives today is the power that only God has. No one else has. And that power is the power to give life. God is the one that created this world. And He made life. He gave life. And when God raised Jesus from the dead, he gave life into that body once again. And so Jesus Christ came alive. You see, God has the power to breathe life into your hearts so that no matter what you're facing in life, no matter what troubles you face in this life, you will still feel confident. You will still feel joyful. You will still feel peace in your hearts. That's the kind of power that God has, and God is able to give that to you. And what Paul is praying is that you will come to know God more and more and more, so that you understand that God has desired this relationship with you, and that God is blessing you with every spiritual blessing, that God is working in your life and showing you that you have this great inheritance because of Jesus Christ, and that God is working in you even now, no matter what you're facing in your life. God is working in you now with that great power. Now, as we think about what Paul is praying, some of us might be having some questions. Like, was Paul's prayer answered? You know, in a way, even though Paul is praying this for the Ephesians, this is something that could be applied to us. And so I'll ask, is this being answered? Is this prayer being answered in our own lives? And so let's go to our next point, the answer to prayer. When we think about prayers, and earlier I was asking the question about like how we people ask us to pray for them and we ask them to pray for us and how we could be praying for one another. As we think about that, I want us to think about what kinds of prayers that we pray for. Right? Last week I mentioned this briefly, but a lot of times when we ask for prayer, we ask for something, for God to work in our lives in some kind of way, because we want our lives to be better now. We want our family life, we want our work life, we want our business, our retirement funds, we want something to work out a little bit better. We want a better working environment. We want a better home environment. We want things to be better somehow. And that's why we ask for prayer. We want our health to be better, things like that. And so we ask people for prayer. Almost as if we've forgotten about the inheritance in the future. Almost as if we've forgotten the wonderful relationship that God has called us to today. Almost as if we've forgotten that God has already promised a power that he's given to us and he's working in our lives, so that we have to ask people to ask God to give us a better life, because right now it feels like we don't have that great a life. Right? What is it that we pray for? If God is already working in this way and he's told us what his purpose is, and that he is with us and he's working in our lives and he's giving us peace, and that he's forgiven us of our sins, and that you are a worthy child of God, no matter what you do. If we believe that, then how should that affect what we're praying for? I'm not saying don't pray for those things. We can still pray for those things. But as we pray for those things, what's filling our minds? What is it that's driving us in our next step as we ask people for that kind of prayer? With that said, I want to let you know that we have been praying for you. We have a prayer gathering that happens every Tuesday for 3 weeks out of the month. We pray online, and we also pray in person once a month. And whenever we get together in person, we have a board, and I was trying to get a picture of it, but I couldn't find a picture in my phone when I was preparing this. Basically, this board has a bunch of little cards, little post-it kind of cards, and we write a prayer request on there. When we hear some prayer requests from our church people, we write the prayer request on the card. And then we pray for it, And then we come back to the board. And then if there's some updates, maybe the prayer is not fully answered, then we write the update on the card. And then as we keep doing that, and we see a story developing on the card as we see how there's some updates and how God's moving. And then finally, we come to a point where we can say that original prayer request is answered. And then we move that card from the top to the bottom of the board. And as we've been praying in this kind of way for almost a year now, we see that there's a bunch of prayer requests on the top, but then, man, God has answered a bunch of prayers on the bottom. It's so cool to see. I really encourage you to come and join our prayer gatherings. But as we pray, we want to pray for the prayer requests that people ask for. But we also want to pray according to the prayers that are found in Scripture. We want to pray according to how God is working. We want to pray according to His purpose. And so, what if we began to pray something like this, according to what Hebrews 11 said, and I don't know if you're able to see this clearly or not, but Hebrews 11, 35 to verse 40 says this, "Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect." And so what if we see this passage and we begin to pray for you? Something like, "God, would you please begin to work in the lives of your people in our church? That you would give them a kind of faith that's based on what Scripture has said, so that no matter what we may face, even if we are sawn in two, even if we were burned alive, even if we were stoned and afflicted and we were mocked, that we would hold on to you, God, as we look forward to the hope that we have in you." Would you welcome that kind of prayer? What about this? James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds for you. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." So what if we were to pray for you? If we're praying according to Scripture, according to God's purpose, what if we're praying, "Lord, help the people in our church to see that their trials is actually a blessing. Help them to see that what they're going through right now, no matter how hard it is, that we would count it as joy because we know that you are developing in us perseverance. Because we see that you're actually working in our lives through this trial because you're wanting us to grow closer to you so that we would depend on you all the more. So Lord, help us, no matter what we may be facing, that we would count it as joy, that we would see it as a blessing." Would you welcome that kind of prayer? Let me point to this one. Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. "He who testifies to these things," that's talking about Jesus, "says, 'Surely I am coming soon.' And John responds by saying, 'Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.'" And what if we were to pray for you? "Lord, give us a heart that yearns for your coming. Give us a heart that really looks forward to the fact that you're coming, so that when we look at all the things that we're experiencing here on earth, so that when we look at all the things that are tempting us and enticing us, that we would see all these things as nothing. That all of these things are so much less important than what you have prepared for us. Lord, help us to see that your coming is something that's so wonderful that we would all yearn for that, that we would all look forward to that, and that we would see everything on this earth Whether it be the desire for marriage, whether it be a desire for children, whether it be a desire for retirement, whether it be a desire for the next vacation, that we would count all of those things as nothing. That they're not as important as we make it. They are important, but not as important as we make it, as we think about you, Lord Jesus, and how you're coming back soon. Or what about Matthew chapter 5, verse 16? It says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. What if we were to pray for you according to God's word, according to his purposes? We pray, Lord, would you work in the people in our church, in their hearts, that they would grow a passion to go out and share your truth with others, that they would be diligent in their work, that they would be diligent in their family life, so that they would show to others how you are working in our lives, that we would show them the good works that are happening because you are working in our lives, that we would show them the good works and that people would look to you and give glory to you. Lord, would you work in our church in this way? Would you work in our people's lives in this way? Would you welcome this kind of prayer? Some of these things are harder to accept because a lot of our prayer requests, a lot of times, are just more about our own joy and our own happiness, our own pleasure or our own comfort and our own convenience. But what Paul is praying for, and what we do pray for all of you, is that we would see God and see how great he is and see how wonderful it is that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. We pray that you would come to know God more and more and more, so that you would see how great God is and that you would want to live according to what he desires. That you would accept the purpose that he has given for us, given to us. Remember, I was asking that question about, you know, when you ask that person for prayer, do you begin to live out that prayer? Do you begin to do your best to live out that prayer? And so I just want to say, we are praying for these things for you. Even Jesus Christ has prayed a prayer for you that's evident in Scripture. Jesus' prayer was specifically that we, the church, would be united and that we would have this union with one another, the same kind of union that we have with Jesus Christ and God the Father and the Spirit, that we would be loving each other and growing to know each other, that we would be dedicated to this community here, that we would think about, I need to be a part of this community. I need to be at a community group. I need to be growing in my relationship with people here at our church because we need to grow in this unity as Jesus has prayed for us. And Jesus says that, I pray, Father, that you would bring them to complete unity, that the world would know who I am and that the world would know who you are. Will you be the answer to the prayers that are found in Scripture? Will you be the answer to the prayers that we're praying for you as a church? You know, when we pray for these things, just as I mentioned earlier, we pray for these things and we're not just hoping that God would just do a miracle. And then all of a sudden, everyone here one day appears and says, oh man, God is awesome. We've come to know how awesome God is. And we're just going around and sharing the gospel with every one of our neighbors. And we're coming here and we really want to pray for one another. And we really want to help each other out. And man, whatever need the church has, we're going to be there. And we're going to just completely live for God. We're going to count everything as loss. And we're going to say, no matter what struggles we find in our lives, we're going to be okay. Because we have God. We're not expecting for every single one of you to come here today and all of a sudden, miraculously, boom, to have this passionate heart for the Lord. But what we do hope from our understanding from Scripture is that as God works in your life, as people pray for you to live for the Lord, there will be moments in your life where you will feel, I should be doing this. I really want to do this. But I know that this is the right way, and I know I should be doing this, but I really want to do this, even though I know it's wrong. There will be moments in your life where you will realize that there is a choice that you have to make. And the hope is that as you are reminded of God's ways, the only reason why you will even struggle is because God is working in you. The only reason why you will be in that moment where you're like, I know I need to do this, but I really want to do this. The only reason why you're struggling is not because you're such a bad Christian and you're struggling with this. The reason why you're struggling is because God is working in you saying, this is the way. I want you to walk in this way. And that's why you're struggling. And the hope is that you will begin practicing as God speaks to you, as God shows you the right way, as God brings the sermons to remembrance, as God brings you to remember the passages in the Bible that you've read or that you heard about, that you will begin to take those small steps toward God. And maybe you fell. Maybe you fell into sin, but even after you fell into sin, to take that small step back toward God, where you say, God, I need you. I know that you've forgiven me. I know that the work on the cross is already done. And just to keep turning back to God and take those baby steps toward God. It's kind of like this. If we pray, Lord, please provide for the needs of the church. We're doing a building project. We need to still rent. Please provide for the needs of the church. Then in faith, we give offering as our next step as much as we've committed to give. Or if we pray, Lord, help us to be a light in this world. Then in faith, we look for opportunities to share the gospel about Jesus Christ to other people. We look for those opportunities. Maybe we're not brave enough to go and share just yet, but we're looking for those opportunities. Those small steps to be the answer to the prayer. What if we pray, Lord, help me to go to sleep earlier because I know that there are more temptations at night. Right? Some of you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. And maybe we might ask for prayer from other people. Hey guys, can you pray for me that I'll be able to go to sleep earlier at night because every time I'm up late at night, there's a lot of temptations. Then if that's your prayer, then doing your best to actually commit to getting to bed earlier, making yourself a schedule and taking those practical steps to actually go to sleep earlier. Or if we pray, Lord, I want to be more consistent with my devotions, then in faith, planning out my day so that I can have a specific devotion time that's planned out in my day. In faith, taking those small steps toward the Lord, doing things and making decisions in your life according to what God has been teaching you. Not just asking people for prayer and just hoping that miraculously it's going to work out, but actually taking certain steps according to the prayer that people have prayed for you, or according to the prayer that you've asked people to pray for. You know, this idea might be kind of interesting, and I don't know if you've heard of this idea of, like, be the answer to the prayer before, but this is something that's not new. Jesus actually demonstrated this. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus asks his disciples to pray. He asks his disciples to pray a specific prayer, and that is, ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers into his harvest field. Jesus asked the disciples to pray that there would be workers going out sharing the gospel to other people. And then in the very next chapter, what does Jesus do? He says, I've asked you to pray, but now you're going to be the answer to the prayer. And he sends his disciples to go out and to share the gospel. When we ask for prayer, we want to take the steps to actually do our best to live out what that prayer was. When we see prayers in Scripture, we also want to do our best to live out what that prayer is. But that can be difficult. That can be difficult because even if we have that desire, sometimes there's a stronger desire that causes us to go away from the Lord. There's a stronger desire that says, no, I still want to live in my own way and not according to God's ways. I know I should be reading the Bible, but man, work and my life is so busy. My life and my work is more important than my time with the Lord. I know my time with the Lord is important, but my work is so much more important, and that's why I tell people I've just been so busy. And you think that miraculously God is going to say, all right, I'm going to change your schedule all of a sudden so that you have the time to do your devotion. No. What happens a lot of times is that there's this, you have enough time, but it's because you are placing more importance on something else. And that's why we respond and we say to Pastor, I know what's right, but it's so hard. Here's the thing. God doesn't just leave us alone. You know, he wants us to accept the purpose that he's given to us. He wants us to live according to his ways. Paul prays that we would come to know God more and more so that we would accept God and that we would accept his purpose and that we would have that desire to live for him. But he doesn't leave us alone to change our schedule on our own and to go to sleep earlier at night and to do all these things on our own. He also gives that power. The power for the answer. Remember, there is that third aspect that Paul talked about, that you may also come to know the immeasurable power of the immeasurable greatness of his power. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. You see, this power is something that God is working in our lives. But I want to go into a little bit more detail about what this power is about. I did talk about how it's this power that gives life to you. But it's not just the power that we're supposed to come to know. It goes on to say this. Let me just back up a little bit. It says that he worked in Christ. This is halfway down. That he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. You see, what this is saying is that Jesus was given this power. And he's been given this authority. He is king over all the earth. He is king over all the universe. He is king over everything that is going on in your life. He is king and he is in control. He is more powerful than any demon. He's more powerful than Satan. He's more powerful than any person in your life. He's more powerful than even your own heart. And God is working in your life to change you. Because Jesus has that power and authority to work in this kind of way. Jesus is working, and he has all the power to do that. And it says in verse 22, and he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and who fills all in all. Jesus is in control, and Jesus also is the head over all things, and even the church. Jesus is the head over the church. That means Jesus is the head over us. Jesus is the one that's working in our lives. Jesus is not working only in you as an individual, but Jesus works in us as a church. And so it's so important for us to understand that Jesus is going to work with his power in our lives, but it's not going to happen if you stay away from the church. It's not going to happen if you stay away from the community of the church. It's going to happen when you continue, as every week, you know that it's important for us to gather together, to worship God together, to grow in our relationship with one another, to actually get to know one another, to share your prayer requests with one another, and to share in each other's struggles together. In this way, Jesus will work in power through the church as he is the head over us. And not only that, we are his hands and his feet to be the ones that are working with his power to help each other so that we can grow together, to remind each other of his power, of his purposes, so that we can grow together. This community is so important, and God is working through this community. I want to share just quickly about how, just in my own experience, I've struggled. I've struggled to put my faith in God. I've struggled to continue to walk with the Lord. Even this past week, and last week as well, there was a struggle of mine that I went through, which was, I had a hard time focusing. I had a hard time being focused on what I needed to do. And I could give all kinds of reasons as to why. The stress that I'm facing, all the different things that are happening in my life, some family matters that happened this past week. I could talk about all the different things that are going on in church and all these things that make me feel like I'm not able to focus because there's just so many things that I need to focus on that I just want to escape. And I just want to go to YouTube. And I have to confess, during my work hours, while I'm sitting in my office, I have this desire to want to go look at YouTube. And I look at the YouTube shorts. And I just scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll. And I'm preparing this sermon about God's purpose. And how we need to be praying for one another and looking at Paul's prayer. And because of the fact that I know I need to prepare this for the church. And being a part of this community, I also shared with my community group at TGIF. I shared with them about how I struggled with focus. And they're praying for me. You know what? Even this morning, I woke up. And I was preparing for this sermon, just getting my mind ready and getting things ready for it this morning. And that desire, go to YouTube, look at that funny video again, look at that magic trick again, just keep going back to that, look at it again. And I went to it again, even this morning. I have to confess to you guys. And I scrolled and scrolled and scrolled. And remember, I was talking about how a big city and Ephesus, and there's all these influences. And I'm looking at YouTube and it's influencing me, telling me Family Feud is so fun and so funny. You know, telling me that, you know, I want to look at like Magic Tricks by Penn and Teller. I don't know if you guys know what these things are, but, you know, go look at SpaceX again and look at the rocket ships and how they're developing. Just look at all these things. It's just so amazing. And all this time I'm forgetting about God's amazing work and what he's going to do in our lives. And this morning, I had to be an answer to my prayer. And so I said, enough of this. I'm going to erase YouTube. So I erased YouTube off of my phone this morning. Yeah. And it was just a small step, just a small victory. But I want to encourage you as well. You know, you're not the only one struggling with, maybe you're struggling with the same thing I am, but we have all different kinds of struggles in our lives. I want to encourage you. We are praying for you. Come join us in our prayer gatherings. Come join us in our community groups. We're praying for you guys. Let's grow together and let's take those baby steps and grow towards the purpose that God has given to us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for how you are working in our lives. And I pray, Father, that you would work continually with the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Lord Jesus, you're the one with the power. And through the Holy Spirit, there is power to change us, to direct us, to guide us in your ways. And Lord, whenever we hear that still small voice, that little voice that gives us that choice to say we can walk in a better way, Lord, help us to respond. But even if we fail, Lord Jesus, we remember how you've forgiven us, how you have already finished the work on the cross, and help us to turn to you even then and to choose your way. Lord, help us in this path and help us to grow so that we would align our purposes according to your purpose. And Lord, that we would accept the purpose that you've given to us. I pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.